FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty in studio, Shreveport Police Captain Janice Daly joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming out.
Absolutely.
We know that there's efforts being made down at the Red River District. People are concerned. Of course, right now there's not a lot of businesses down there.
Mm-mm.
City trying to work on that. But also one of the concerns is safety.
Yes.
And you guys have some plans? Are we increasing in security in that area or just patrol? Or what
well,
are we
We're
what
looking
are we
at
doing?
Several different options. You know, we're looking at, do we need to increase our camera coverage? Do we do we have the ability to increase our manpower down there, on especially on nights when there are events? Do we want to make it a specific entry points instead of wide open? Things like that. And that would allow us to better control what, not necessarily who, but what type of objects come in and out of the district.
Under the ordinance now, when they pass that open container ordinance for that district, people can wander around through the Red River District with alcohol, correct?
Correct.
I can bring my own down there. I can pour my drinks and I can wander through that district and drink all I want.
Correct. There's open container is allowed.
Was that a mistake?
That decision was made years ago. I think probably when it was made in the spirit of doing good things for the city. Now, I don't really have an opinion on whether or not it needs to be revisited.
But you do have an opinion that alcohol can escalate people doing stupid things.
Well, sure. Anytime you add any type of mind-altering substance, it has the propensity to, or the potential, I shouldn't say the propensity, the potential to, you know, cause you to not use good judgment.
Okay.
But there are other districts that do have open container all across the country.
Beale Street, French Quarter, lots
right.
of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not an unusual situation to
right.
have.
There was a mention during the council meeting of a possible cover charge and or metal detectors to go in and out. That would mean you'd have to put in the specific entry points and all that. Is that something that will be on your report to at least investigate or to look at?
The cover charge is not something that the police department, we don't decide that.
But the money, they said, would go to you. I mean, if you do charge a cover charge, then the money would be used to beef up security. That's what I'm hearing.
Kevin's very surprised at that.
I had not heard that one.
Okay.
You know, we will take any money that, you know, that someone wants to give us. And we're not opposed to a cover charge. The specific entry points is something that would very much impact us.
Okay.
Because even if we use private security to man those, you have to have an officer there. The metal detector or whatever it is you're using goes beep, beep, beep. You have to have somebody with enforcement authority there to address that issue.
I'm thinking of the Red River District, even starting up on Texas Street by Chelsea's. How old am I? Blind Tiger, going down across Commerce Street and then toward the casinos. How would you enclose that and make single entry points? How would you control that? Would there be fencing installed? What?
Fencing would be one option. I mean, if you look back at what occurred last year during Humor and Harmony, that was a very loose version of what could occur, a temporary version, I should say, versus loose version. That's something like that, fencing. And then, again, you designate your specific entry points. You have your emergency egress points in case something happens.
Mm-hmm. There were some mention by me, I believe, that some of the cameras down there are very old. They were donated by the casinos long ago, and they may not be operable anymore. You may not have access to those feeds anymore. Are y'all working on getting that solved?
I think we actually have got a lot of that solved just this week, in that we are putting more cameras down there.
Okay.
And we had great coverage already, but we want to make sure that we're not missing anything. No little blind spots or anything like that. So,
talking to Captain Janice Daly about the Red River District downtown, with the cameras that are linked to the real-time crime center, I believe it was Councilman Alan Jackson, I apologize if I'm wrong about which councilman, said, couldn't we on like Fridays and Saturday nights have somebody at the real-time crime center kind of be designated, hey, periodically look at the cameras in the Red River District. And if you see that crowd starting to grow, we need to alert police and say, hey, we might want to send some more people down there. Is that going to be part of this equation?
There is nothing that is off the table for this. I mean, if that is something that we can do and make happen and it helps make things safer and people feel safer, And it's absolutely a possibility. Mm-hmm. And we'll do what we can.
The incident that happened the other night, I misspoke, said it was a shooting. It was not a shooting. Thank you, Chris. It was a fight. And that was just individuals that knew each other. It wasn't something that was random.
Correct.
What had happened there?
And I'm not real familiar with the incident, so I can only speak in generalities. And mm-hmm. I do believe it's still being investigated, but it's very much what you just described. People who knew each other, they had a disagreement about something. It turned into a physical altercation.
Can you stay with us? Because I got some other questions about other possibilities, things we could do down there.
Sure.
All right, we're going to have to tie her to the chair. All right.
Maybe we'll heat up her coffee for her. Captain Janice Daly in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Way to go, Ruben. Halloween.
You know what I told Ruben today? I said, you can play all the Halloween music you want, except...
Right?
Thriller?
No Thriller.
And Monster Mash.
Thank you.
Because everybody else in the world, I've already heard Thriller 8 times this morning. So, yeah, Ruben's finding the good stuff.
Captain Janice Daly, Shreveport Police Department in studio with Mike and McCarty talking about the report you're about to present. To city council.
The mayor.
Mm-hmm. And the mayor mm-hmm. For the Shreveport Police plans to try to increase security and safety in the Red River District.
Captain, let me ask you, because there's been a lot of discussion about permits and who needs to go to the city and get a permit for an event. What is the advice if I'm going to have 30 people, if I'm going to have 100 people? What's the city's typical rules on that?
If you're having a special event in the district, you are supposed to get a permit. You go through SPAR to do it. It's a very simple process. They have the forms out on the website. Submit it 30, 45 days in advance. Gives every entity who's going to be involved in that, fire department, SPAR, police department, gives us an opportunity to review it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure everything's in place that needs to be in place, and then you have a safe and happy event.
And y'all would have police presence there?
If required, yeah. And that is sometimes dependent upon the number of people,
okay.
is whether or not you're required to have security.
But isn't it what's happening in the district now, these kind of spontaneous social media posts or people texting each other saying, hey, let's get together in the Red River District, and then that grows and grows and grows, like when we were teenagers and mom and dad were gone, and all of a sudden we've got 100 kids at our house.
It is my understanding that that is what is occurring. I haven't been down there when that has occurred, but that's my appreciation of it. Somebody makes a post, and mm-hmm. then next thing you know, everybody's down there mm-hmm. having a good time.
I heard Fatty Arbuckles is leaving the Red mm-hmm. River District. Before too long, it's got to be pretty empty. With your reporting, with your plans, we know there's been discussion about Curtis Jackson possibly getting involved in the Red River District. Has that been a factor at all? Have y'all heard from him? Has the mayor talked to he or his people at all?
I can't speak for the mayor. I can tell you that Mr. Jackson is allowing us to use like the camera trailer that he and his people bought mm-hmm. last year. We're going to use that to enhance the security. And it's my understanding from speaking with Chief Smith that he is very on board with helping us make it safer for everybody to enjoy.
Everything that I've heard, I really appreciate his attitude toward what he has planned or what he would like to do. He said, stop calling it Ratchet City. Let's mm-hmm. make this something that we can all be proud of, and putting his own money in to do it.
Yes. And we have to really distinguish. The Red River District is owned by the city of Shreveport.
Correct.
We own that.
Right.
If we reach a management agreement with 50 Cent to run that, how does that change what you guys would have to do? He would then have to hire you or find security himself if he's hired to run the property, but we would still own it, but he's got the lease for it. How would that work?
Had not thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that we would have to look at, and would we keep the same requirements in place that we have now? And like you said, if we keep the same requirements in place, then it's just everything goes through him mm-hmm. instead of, you know, my guys in special events setting up and contacting and saying, hey, Chris, do you want to work? Well, then Mr. Jackson would contact us, and then we would hire the officers.
Let's talk staffing a minute, because if you've got a crowd that's growing into 200, 300 people, and you realize that on a Friday night, you don't have a bunch of police officers sitting around looking for something to do, typically on a Friday night. How do you say, hey, I need to pull, you know, A, B, and C from these districts because the Red River District is starting to, crowd starting. How do you make decisions like that?
That's one of those reasons why we ask people to let us know in advance if you're going to have an event, because then we can be down there, and it may not take, you know, 97 of us. It only takes 5 of us. We can be down there. We can monitor. We can be proactive and address things before they get out of hand. Obviously, if something, then wherever we need to utilize personnel from, we will use them for that short period of time. Even if it's asking, you know, the sheriff's department to come in and help us, we can put out the call for help to the state police, all of that. I mean, we're going to make sure that, first and foremost, that the public stays safe and that our officers stay safe, or do our best to do that. Mm-hmm. We can't guarantee it.
Does your plan, I know we're talking about the Red River District, but does it include the entire entertainment district, which goes, I believe, up Texas?
Right now, we are just looking at the Red River District.
Okay.
There was some mention, too, at the council when we talk about the permits about, you know, police officers who do show up at those events, and let's say they're using the stage. And I was astonished to hear the SPAR guy say sometimes they hack into the box down there to turn on the power, because y'all don't turn on the power. The city doesn't turn on the stage unless there is a permit pulled. And for some of these events where there hasn't been a permit pulled, they've hacked into the box or they've run extension cords. Could your officers go up to the stage to whoever's running the show up there and say, show me your permit? And if you don't, then you shut this off. We turn off the speakers. The crowd has to go home. Is that something you're prepared to do, or is it something in your plan? Hey, we might want to start doing that.
We can ask to see permits. We can be shown those. And as far as, you know, going in and killing power and shutting things off, nothing is off the table. Everything has to be weighed, benefits versus risk.
Obviously
versus
not the first thing you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, you want to try to gain compliance. I mean, that's always our goal, is gain compliance. Let's get this to where nothing is out of control. You to have a good time, but no one's being hurt, things like that. And again, it's a risk-benefit analysis that we would have to do before we would do something, you know, drastic.
How many businesses are left down there right now, with especially with Fatty's leaving?
4, I believe it is.
Are there really?
The other concern is, because I've seen some pictures of some of the reunion events that were held down there that apparently did not have permits, where it got to over 1,000 people, and it was a big crowd. The fire department has to have, there are some rules about how many people can be down there. Are they in this mix in, hey, here's the numbers that are allowable down there? Are they part of this plan that you're going to be presenting?
Sure. Like I said a minute ago, anything that occurs down there that we permit, we consult with them. And if things move forward as we think, then we will reach out to the fire department, fire prevention, and the state fire marshal if we need to see if there is a maximum occupancy load that can be handled in that. It's a little different than, say, the building, because it's open.
Right.
It's open air. So those add things, you know, different things that we have to take into consideration.
Are y'all working with casino management at all? Or are they involved in any of the Red River District anymore?
I'm not sure if they're still involved with the Red River District. I don't know the answer to that question. I can tell you right now, we are in the very preliminary stages of planning all of this, and I have not talked to any of casino management.
Captain Janice Daly, the other question, I have a bunch, but we're running out of time. Underage drinking down there. When y'all get called down there, what are some of the things you first will address with the crowd? Will you find out if there's illegal guns, if there's illegal drinking? What are some of the concerns that you have when you first arrive, when officers arrive on the scene?
I think it's going to be based on the type of complaint we receive. Obviously, if it's just because there's a crowd, then you address the most serious safety violations first.
Mm-hmm.
If you have been called because there is a fight, then you have to address that first, and then to prioritize, you know, you have to triage things.
Right. You're not just going to go down there and see if there are underage people drinking. I mean, you don't have the manpower to do that.
Not only, correct. We'll leave it at correct. And it's, again, it's a risk-benefit analysis.
Right.
You know, is it worth it for me to go down there and create hostile environment because you're 20 and you are drinking? You're not causing a problem.
Right.
You're not causing a problem.
Sure.
It is against the law, but, you know, I've got a group of 37-year-olds on the other side who's creating a problem.
They're stirring things up.
Yeah, maybe I should address them instead of you.
Okay.
So. It's the kind of the BS to dollars ratio that you have to examine.
I completely understand. Sure. I know you took the chief on a tour down there the other day and to kind of show him what the situation looks like, and y'all are putting the plan together. Hopefully we'll be presented to the mayor and get some things moving pretty quickly, right?
Hope so.
Gotcha.
Captain Janice Daly, Shreveport Police Department.
Thank y'all for having me.
Thanks. Appreciate it. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Coming up, Alan Sebald, who's state senator, going to be joining us, talking about his plans to run for Caddo DA. Mike McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
State Senator Alan Sebald spoke with us on Friday about his plans running for Caddo DA. Hear what he's got to say coming up next. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty in studio, Senator Alan Sebald joining us. First of all, before we get to your big news, you've got a big weekend, your five-year high school reunion.
Five-year high school reunion. Yeah, I'm a proud graduate of the Captain Shreve class in 1985, and we're having our 40th high school reunion this week.
Wow.
And we got it started off last night. A bunch of us went to the Shreve Halton game, and yeah, we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday events.
Wow. Did you go under the bleachers and pop some beers like you? Yeah.
no comment.
Enough about that. I'm a bird mom. Right. Hush up about it.
We had a very good class, and I'm very proud of a lot of the people that we graduated.
Y'all have fun.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a good time.
Mike Johnson wasn't in your class.
Mike is a baby. Mike is 5 years younger than me. We went to the same high school, but he's 5 years younger.
Right.
You are running for district attorney of Caddo Parish.
I am that, yes.
What on earth made you decide to do that?
Well, it's a lot of things that are happening in our community are simply not acceptable. I have people that tell me they hear gunshots at least weekly, if not daily. We have a revolving door of violent crimes committed by people that should still be in prison from previous offenses. It's one thing after another, but it's anecdotal and it's constant of people that saying, you know, somebody broke in my car and the police wouldn't even come investigate because they're so short. I think I was somewhere around 150 officers short. And so I started talking to officers and they blame the DA's office, different reasons, but everything seems to funnel back to what is happening and not happening in the DA's office. And if we're going to fix Caddo Parish, if we're going to fix Shreveport, if we're going to stop being at the top of these crime statistics, something is going to have to drastically change in the district attorney.
They're saying the crime statistics are down. The crime numbers are down. Do you think they're lying?
I do. And I don't think they're lying. I think they're wrong. I think arrests might be down because we have fewer police officers who are not arresting people. But when somebody broke in your car and stole something out of your car, that used to be reported as a crime. Now they're saying, call your insurance company. Those things aren't getting reported as crimes. And anecdotally, I had somebody say, somebody broke in my car, stole some stuff, stole my phone, I think it was. And we tracked the phone and I actually called the police, said, it's at this address. And they said, we just don't have the manpower. We don't care.
But murders are down.
Maybe. I mean, that's fine. I'm sure they are. But I mean, I can't quote. I'm not disputing that. I haven't looked specifically at the statistics, but we're still higher than Chicago. So when we have, I mean, that was a question.
Per capita.
It was a question in a Senate Judiciary Committee meeting last week when they were confirming the federal judge that's going to be in the Western District in Shreveport. The senator that was asking him the questions, isn't the murder rate in Shreveport higher than in Chicago? And the answer was an unequivocal yes. Again, I haven't compared it. It's disturbing. And the very fact that we're having the conversation, when Gavin Newsom can come out and say crime in Shreveport is worse, because he's taking a dig at Mike Johnson, but crime in Shreveport is worse than San Francisco. And, you know, we tend to cast dispersions on some of those big cities. the very fact that we're having those conversations and having to look at the numbers tells you we have a problem. And the fact is, I don't care if it's down. It's not down enough.
Mm-hmm. The gunshots people are hearing at night are real.
They're real, absolutely real. And the property crimes, and I mean, there was I watched a video this morning of somebody stealing a bunch of stuff from Albertsons in Shreveport, and it's just, it's constant and it's out there and nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, now Caddo DA James Stewart says he is prosecuting, but he can't help what the judges do or the juries do. What would you do different than what's being done right now?
Well, I don't think the problem is the judges or the juries. And they are prosecuting people. I'm not disputing that. I think it's a selective prosecution. I think certain people are not being prosecuted who perhaps should be. And I think a lot of what they're doing is to get statistics so they can say, look how good we're doing. But I hear from criminal defense attorneys, from former assistant DAs, from people all over the political spectrum. And it's, I have not had one single person come to me and say, I really think they're doing a bang up job. They're doing the best they can.
Governor Landry said right on this radio station that James Stewart's doing a good job. Well, you heard that.
I did. And he said they're doing, he actually didn't say he's doing a good job. He said they're getting people to court. There is something to that effect.
Were you kind of shocked to hear that?
I was a little, and I don't think he'll say it again. I don't think it was accurate. I think what he was trying to do was they were pushing legislation to take a shot at the DA in Orleans Parish, and he was trying to show a contrast. Some people are doing better than Orleans Parish, and I will say we're probably doing better than Orleans Parish.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, not doing a good job.
Does the DA's office have enough ADAs?
Yeah, that was actually what they were. What the legislation was going to take some warrants away from Orleans and give them to Caddo. Certainly, we could use more, but I do they have enough to do a better job than they're doing right now? Absolutely.
Your directive to your assistant district attorneys with regard to plea deals, what would District Attorney Alan Seabaugh tell your assistants where that's concerned?
Well, that's a very broad question, and in every case is specifically mm-hmm. different. The fact what I think you need to look at is where the person is coming from. Look at their history. Are they a repeat offender? And I think we have to take a very close look at why people are sitting in CCC for 3 years, sometimes longer than that. Some of them on misdemeanors.
Would you say no plea deals for repeat offenders? Violent offenders?
Violent offenders, maybe. I mean, you can't really say no broadly like that because, again, every case is different. Every fact is different. You do have to look at each case individually. But if you look at it in a broad spectrum, when you have people that are arrested for violent offenses that are taking pleas to either misdemeanors or low-grade felonies and getting out for time served because they sat in CCC for 2 years, and they're right back out on the street, or they're taking pleas very quickly. I mean, I've had many police officers say, I have literally had the person released before I finished processing the paperwork. In and out, in and out, in and out, and they're back on the street, and people, I mean, it is very easy to find examples of violent, bad crimes committed in this community by people that should have still been incarcerated from previous offenses,
mm-hmm.
out on probation on 3 or 4 offenses. And the bottom line is we have to do better. And I'm running because I am firmly convinced that I can do better than what we have right now. I'm not saying everything they do is wrong, and I'm not saying that they're doing anything intentional. I think they're probably doing their best. But the fact of the matter is you can look at the crime in this community and say their best is not good enough. What we're doing right now is not good enough. What's happening in this community right now is not acceptable. I don't accept a lot of the things that I'm hearing, and I'm running because I'm convinced we can do better.
Okay.
State Senator Alan Seabaugh in studio. Can you hold with us?
I can.
Mm-hmm. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So I was out of town all weekend. We left on Friday, My daughter was coming from Florida back to Dallas.
Oh, cool.
Because a friend of hers was getting married. So we said, we're going over to Dallas.
Go hang out.
And we got an Airbnb, and she stayed with us. And so we had a great weekend.
Nice.
So I came back. We got back yesterday and you know, was in this morning. And Tim Fletcher comes in and does his sports. And we were talking. And he said, well, of course, you know, with that going on downtown. I went, wait, what? I said, I've been out of town since Friday, basically Friday morning.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, there was a huge brawl downtown. It's online.
Oh, yeah. Lovely Halloween night in downtown Shreveport. And thank God no one pulled a gun. That's the one saving grace.
Animals in the wild don't act like this.
That's true, Mike.
I mean, honestly.
That's true. One man is unconscious and they're kicking him in the head.
But they're brutal for a reason. This is just violence
savages.
For violence's sake.
Yes. Why? And I asked Ruben, first thing I said to him this morning was this alcohol induced? Do people do this kind of thing when they're drunk or drugged up?
I've been drunk before.
And are they just this kind of person? Is that who you are? You're a savage.
It doesn't help.
You're right.
With or without the alcohol, I mean, you know, violent people are going to be violent, but the alcohol definitely doesn't help.
But if I see that, I'm not going to that part of town.
I don't want
my car involved.
No, of course not. And here we've been advocating for downtown, and then this.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I have no defense, because the chief has told us their crime cameras downtown. Why did it take more than 5 minutes for police to arrive? Is nobody monitoring these cameras?
Well, they sent a statement out.
Did they not see this brewing? Did they not see it start?
Well, they sent a statement out saying they had a lot of calls Friday night. There were a lot of problems in the city Friday night with shots fired, Halloween stuff going on, and they were crowd control, and they were doing things at a lot of different events. And so they were short-staffed. But you got to have people down there. When you got a crowd starting to build, you got to be there.
So is this a case for the National Guard?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody is saying they need to be down there just every weekend.
Just
have some
on
National
the corners.
Guard just hanging out if we're going to use them. You know, I've reached out. The mayor may not be available today. I'm not sure, nor the chief. I don't know. The mayor is supposed to be getting out of the hospital today, so he may be working through that right now, which makes things, you know, untenable for him to come on the radio. But we'll try. There are other people who want to weigh in on it. We're going to decide, you know, who needs to come on the air and talk about this, because you can't have a downtown like this. You just can't.
Well, not in Survive. No.
Yeah, exactly. I just got a text from the mayor. He asked what time, so I'm going to tell him 7:40. And we will see if he agrees to do that. It looks like he probably will.
We'll continue our conversation with Alan Seabaugh coming up at 7:10.
Yes. I'm going to finish that up, because that was some interesting stuff about, you know, seriously, the same kind of issue.
Right.
How we have to make people be accountable for their crimes and their bad behavior. The mayor is good to go for 7:40. Perfect.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. Senator Alan Studio, Mike and McCarty, you recently announced that you are running for Caddo DA.
Yes, I am.
I know you've got a lot of support.
I do.
We've talked to James Stewart several times, as a matter of fact. He has been willing to come in studio with us. One of the things that I've always wondered about, if you will, are the particular pleas. Like, if there are several charges, it seems to me that the more serious gun charges would be pled down, I'm sorry, and then others would be prosecuted. And his response was, we have to prosecute what we feel we can have the evidence to get a conviction on, and saying the police might not have done X, Y, or Z to be able to get them the evidence. How would you do things differently in that situation?
Well, again, every case is different. Every case has different facts. But one of the things you have to look at is there, if you have multiple charges, some have mandatory minimums that are higher than others. It depends on what you decide to let them plead to. And if it returns a violent criminal back to the street, it's probably not a good idea. But sometimes people are sitting in CCC for longer than the mandatory minimum would be had they pled guilty early on. So they're getting credit for time served and walking as soon as they plead. So I think you have to look at, one, taking the violent criminal off the street. And I think that has to be the primary focus. If a person is a repeat offender, they're probably going to continue to be a repeat offender.
Ruben, if you look at his computer right now, he's working on mugshots. He does mugshots every week and puts them up. I can't tell you the countless times he's gone, oh, here's a frequent flyer. Look at this guy. He was just on last week.
I did pass the bill to make it legal to release them again.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Ruben really likes that.
Yeah, that was one that never should have passed.
But these frequent flyers, they're every week.
That's exactly why it's necessary that mugshots need to be made available so people can see it and see who's coming up. But yeah, there, when you see somebody arrested 18, 20, 30, 30 times, some of those for violent offenses, that's probably one that you need to look at a little closely, and maybe that person needs to go away for a little while.
Alan Seaball, let me ask you this, because I got a call while I was on medical leave from someone. You said it's not a judge problem. But I got a call from someone who said, we have one judge, and I don't know that this is accurate, so don't quote me. We have one judge in our courts on Fridays, the rest of in the criminal side. The rest of them take Fridays off. Should that be happening?
Well, honestly, that's a DA issue, because the assistant DA sets the calendar. And that's so.
Would that happen under your watch as a DA?
We will push to get cases to trial, and if they tried 60, we'll try 80. We're going to push everything that we can, because one, I want to clear out CCC, and two, I want to get violent criminals off the street, and I want to make sure that everybody is pushed through the system to the fullest extent. I mean,
do you control a judge's schedule?
The DA actually does. Yes.
Okay, I thought that was the state Supreme Court, but no,
well,
it's not.
No, the DA sets when a case is set for trial, when a case is coming up on the docket. The DA actually sets that.
But can't the judge tell the DA, don't schedule me anything on Fridays?
But I don't think that's what they're doing.
Okay.
I don't think they're voluntarily doing that.
You think the judge is setting nothing on Fridays?
I think the DA is setting things on Fridays. Yes, I do.
Interesting.
I mean, the fact of the matter is we have a problem in this community, and it's not exclusively anybody's fault. And I've heard people blame it on the public defenders. They blame it on the judges. They blame it on the DA. They blame it on, you know, across. It's a team issue, and it's not any one particular problem. But there's one particular problem, one aspect of that I can fix, and that's the DA aspect. Mm-hmm. Because just about everybody involved points to the DA's office and say that is the biggest part of the problem. Is the public defender's office perfect? No. One of the things that I have done as a legislator is fight for funding for the public defender system. They are woefully underfunded. We need to fund the public defender's office considerably better than we are doing right now. And that people look at me, oh, you're a law and order legislator. I am. But public defender is a big part of the law and order system, and we need to fund that. We need to do a better job across the board.
There's some that would say you've been a state lawmaker for a long time. Part of our problem is a backup of state inmates in our jail. Get those dang state inmates out of here, and so we have more room in our local jail. What's the state doing about that?
Well, what the state did when John Bel Edwards was governor is we closed prisons and let everybody out. So now a lot of those let people out of jail laws, which passed while John Bel was governor, have been rescinded or revised under Jeff Landry, and those prisons are still closed. So it's coming. I mean, they used to say we had too many people in jail. I think that's the wrong statement. We have too many people committing crime. If you have more people committing crime, you need to have more people in jail. You can't look and say there's too many people in jail without assessing why they're in jail. And the fact of the matter is, especially in this community, people aren't afraid to get arrested. They're not afraid of the police. They're not afraid of the justice system. So why not go commit a crime? And the fact of the matter is we need attention, and we need to let them know that no more sweetheart deals. And if you commit crime in Caddo Parish, we're going to make you pay, and we're going to make what the role, the signal that I would like to send is if you intend to commit crime, go do it somewhere else, because Caddo Parish is off limits, because if you get caught, which I hope we could work with the police and catch them, because the police are doing their job they're short people, mm-hmm. but they are doing their job. The message needs to be delivered that Caddo Parish is a place you do not want to get arrested. And that's my goal, is to have people out there who are at this point not afraid to get arrested, not afraid to break the law, because they're not afraid of the justice system. I would like to get their attention and let them know that we're serious and we're not going to tolerate it anymore.
I know you just made the comment a moment ago, and I think I know what you meant, but I'll let you clarify. You said you want to clear out CCC. You don't mean...
People are sitting there way too long before their cases are being...
Right. Done.
Yes, and I'm not saying I'm going to let them go.
Right.
I want to prosecute them through the system and get them out of local CCC, get them into the state system, and get them into the... There's a difference in a jail and a prison. And CCC is predominantly holding people before trial. Mm-hmm. I would like to get them through the system, get them through that, through the system, and get them into the state system, and frankly, get them out of our community. And, you know, here's another factor that's very important. When you're in the state system, the Department of Corrections has a tremendous amount of resources, education, training, things that is available that are not available at CCC. It's not intended to be
right.
incarceration long term. It's supposed to be holding until trial.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, some of those people need help. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can get them on a different path so that they're not committing more crime. But they're not going to get that at CCC. They're going to get it in the State Department of Corrections system. And there's a lot of programs. The criminal justice reform under John Bell was called the Justice Reinvestment Act. And one of the things we did was we invested in job training programming so that when your sentence is over, you're not just released, mm-hmm. that you have some basis to go get a job, so maybe you don't have to commit crime to support yourself. We've put those programs in place, but they're not at the local level, they're at the state level. So they need to be prosecuted into the state system so that we can actually maybe keep them off the street
longer. Last question real quick, if you don't mind. How does a conservative Republican win in a parish with under 30% Republican voters?
I don't think your numbers are correct, but
okay.
The city may be there. The parish isn't.
Okay.
But if you look at the sheriff's race, it came down to one vote. And, you know, I think the fact of the matter is the votes are there. It's just a matter of getting out. And look, I'm not only appealing to Republicans this at my announcement. I'm not doing this to make Spring Lake safer. I'm doing it to make Cedar Grove safer. This is not just about South Highlands and Broadmoor. It's about Allendale and MLK.
Those are the people most impacted, is
every,
the truth.
Yes, yeah. That is absolutely correct. This crime, this issue disproportionately affects the African-American community. And if they think that what we're having right now is fine, they're welcome to go vote for James Stewart. But what I'm getting since I announced is everybody across the political spectrum is absolutely sick of what's happening in this community. And
well, we're hearing gunshots in Broadmoor, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know.
I agree.
Yeah. Alan Seaball, I'm sure you'll be back. If we invite James Stewart in here with you one day, are you willing?
Absolutely.
Feel free to join him?
Yes.
We'll do it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Alan Seaball, thank you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your Captain Shreve reunion.
Yeah, I plan to.
Go Bird!
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
I'll be the first to admit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a loss. I've been advocating for downtown for months and months and years.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been advocating for downtown. But Aaron, there's no defense right now.
No.
After watching that video that I only watched because we have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. It's horrifying.
It is horrifying. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised there were no gunshots.
I'm
amazed. I don't know. There were dozens and dozens of people out on the street, on the corner, in the middle of the street, sidewalks.
We've got to get tougher. We have got to come in and send those people home, and you're going home, and arrest those who they need to go over the video and go haul those folks in.
Identify. There's a lot. Identify a lot of them.
And we have our own video too. There are cameras down there that the Real Time Crime Center has. You can hone in on people, find out who they are. They have the facial recognition technology, I'm sure. They can find out who these people are. We cannot ignore this. We have to change the face of our downtown, or it's ruined.
And let me also say, I've previously stated, when the governor said we're going to send National Guard troops to New Orleans, to Baton Rouge, to Shreveport, mm-hmm. and my statement at the time was, New Orleans, absolutely. Possibly Baton Rouge. I'm not real familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Shreveport, we're okay. We don't need National Guard troops for safety's sake. No. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Governor Landry? Send them.
Yeah.
Send them today.
Get them here. Get them here.
Because obviously we don't have a handle on it, and we can't control it. And people...
We're going to hear from the mayor on that coming up in about 10 minutes. He may still be at the hospital. They may have already sent him home. I'm not sure what his transition is right now. But we got to be tougher now. We just cannot tolerate this anymore.
We can't take this anymore.
No more. We got to draw the line. This is it. We're done. And if you're a business and you're condoning this and you're letting people behave like this at your business or outside your business, you got to stop it. You got to stop it. You're ruining our downtown, which is the heart of our city.
Mayor Tom Arsenault in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joins us coming up just after the break to address the violent incidents going on in downtown Shreveport. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, and on the free KEEL app.
Back with Marty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. Mayor, first of all, before we get into our discussion, how are you?
Doing great.
Where are you?
I'm in the hospital.
Still okay. We didn't know if you had been released like first thing early this morning, but you're still there.
No. I've got a couple of more treatments. I should get out. I should bust out of this joint after lunch.
Well, you sound great. You sound better than, frankly, the last time we spoke to you. So
definitely.
I'm feeling a lot better than the last time I spoke to you.
Good.
Well, Mayor, nobody's been a bigger proponent for downtown Shreveport than me for the past several years. I love downtown. I still love downtown to this day. But after Friday night, it's hard to defend. Something has to be done.
Well, we agree. Actually, we had a task force plan. These incidents tend to occur around holidays. And so last Monday, I had asked Chief Smith to come up with a specific plan for this weekend. Some of the violence cropped up in places that we didn't anticipate, but we had a very strong police presence in downtown and at that time. So it was just one of those things that it's an unfortunate incident, and we're going to look at what we can do. These things tend to occur after 2 o'clock, so one of the things that we need to look at is whether or not it's time to move back the closing of establishments.
You say police were there. On the video, there's very – I didn't see them. Were they moving in that direction? Were they on foot?
Well, they were about a block away when the melee started.
Okay.
And obviously, you're looking at video that's taken in real time before anyone has a chance to know what it is. So,
and it's 5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody in custody? Are we making arrests? What is the plan with regard to those who we obviously know committed crimes?
Well, knowing that there were crimes committed and knowing who committed those crimes are two different things. And so they are under investigation. I do not know whether we made any arrests overnight Friday night.
I spoke with somebody, I think a former city councilman. I mean, my phone went ballistic, as I'm sure yours did, who said exactly what you just said. Keeping the bars open until 6 a.m. was probably a mistake. How quickly can we make that change back to the 2 a.m. like you just suggested?
Well, that takes council action, and so that may be something that we really need to look at. These things do tend to happen. What appears to occur, of course, this is anecdotal. I don't have statistical evidence, but what appears to occur is that people are out in other places, and then when those places close, they congregate in downtown Shreveport because it's still open for business. And it may be time to reconsider that and to roll that back to 2 a.m.
A lot of those folks, and again, at our age, it's hard to determine, but they looked very young. A lot of them looked like teenagers. What are these folks even doing out that time of day?
Well, of course, the difficulty with it, obviously, we have a curfew, and anybody who was under the age for the curfew was in violation of it. It is very difficult to check the difference between a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Sure.
To have real probable cause about it. So normally, most of the time, the curfew violations are something that's added on unless there's some additional cause to determine the age of a person.
Well, and Mayor, as you know, some of these 15-year-olds look 26. So,
well, they did. That's the problem, mm-hmm. and that is the issue. And some of the 19-year-olds look 15. So, I happen to have fallen into the latter category when I was growing up. But there are certainly people who look younger than they are, or who look older than they are.
Mayor, several weeks ago, talking with Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, Governor Landry talked about sending the National Guard into New Orleans, talked about into Baton Rouge and into Shreveport. And at the time, I was saying, yes, of course, into New Orleans, maybe Baton Rouge. I'm not familiar, but we don't need it in Shreveport. We're okay. Well, you know what? I'm changing my tune. We're not okay. We need all the help we can get.
Well, we do need the help that we can get. The question is, what's the right help? And that's still the question that we need to ask. My guess is that the National Guard would not have been patrolling during that time, so I'm not sure that having the National Guard here would or would not have prevented.
Well, maybe they need to be patrolling at that time.
Well, we're still discussing that with the Adjutant General, and we'll see what we can do about it.
Were you privy to the statement that was issued by police that said, and I'm quoting part of it, Friday nights are among our busiest times, with multiple events taking place across the city, including several high school football games, the state fair, and other activities throughout the downtown district, and we have a shortage of staff, et cetera. Were you part of that statement? Did that get passed by you before it was sent out?
Well, first of all, it was not a statement. As I appreciate it, it was a remark to a reporter.
Okay.
And the entire remark was not printed. And no, I was not privy to it and did not approve it ahead of time. And in fact, a lot of it, given the context of it, was inaccurate. We
okay.
did have a serious police presence in downtown Shreveport Friday night.
Okay. The statement says, and this is from KSLA, resources are stretched thin. How thin? Is it to a critical level now?
No, I don't. I really don't think so. You may remember when we've had this issue with downtown a couple of years ago. Mostly it manifested itself around the noise ordinance. But we, for a period of time, assigned people on downtown on a regular basis because of crowds like this. And now looks like an appropriate time for us to consider reinstituting those activities to cut down on it. And ultimately the noise stopped. But now with these holidays, like I say, you almost can predict that around holidays, and this was Halloween Friday night, you can almost predict that there's going to be a large crowd congregating. And we did anticipate that. It did have an increased police presence to deal with it.
Will you have an official statement? Will something be sent out today that will send a strong message that we won't tolerate this anymore?
I have staff working on that as we speak.
A message from one of our listeners says that you obviously probably know that this is impacting attendance at our festivals, bookings at wedding venues, the aquarium, Cyport, etc. That has to be a concern for you as the mayor of the city.
Well, it is a concern. It for most of those events, it really is not a threat, but that doesn't change the perception. Most of these things, like I say, occur at 3 o'clock in the morning, and most of those events are not happening during 3 o'clock in the morning.
But don't you think there are people, and I'll give myself as an example, in the evening, I'm not going to go to a festival in downtown Shreveport right now for fear that there'll be a crowd, that somebody might get thrown into my car. I mean, just for little things that probably won't happen. But I have that concern in the back of my mind, so I'm like, I'll go over to the East Bank in Bossier and do something.
That's why it's necessary to have the additional police presence and let people know that we're paying particular attention to downtown and the festival area.
But in addition to police presence, Mayor, we've got to keep these criminals that have been convicted off of the streets. We've got to keep them in jail.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Preaching to the choir on that, probably, huh?
Well, beyond my pay scale, I'm afraid. That's not part of my...
I understand. It's just
judges,
frustrating.
Judges and prosecutors, and you have to address those questions to them.
Do the business owners who do stay open that late, do they have some part to play in this, in that they may be having promotions that may be promoting, risque behavior? Let's just leave it at that.
I really don't know. I'm not usually down there at that hour to know whether this is simply people gathering. I do know that, for example, underage people can't get in the establishments because they're too young. And the question is whether it does create an atmosphere. And all of the incidents that happened Friday night, or early Saturday morning, rather, all of those happened on public property. They didn't happen in any particular establishment. And obviously, as you know from listening to some of the establishment owners, they take the position that once they're outside of once people are outside of their establishment, it's a city problem, not their problem.
Mayor, we know that there are real-time crime center cameras downtown. When you see incidents like this beginning, when you start to see 10, 15, now 20, 30 people and more begin to gather on the sidewalk in the middle of the street, can you not go, guys, either inside or leave the area? Clear it out. We're not hanging out on the corners. Can you clear out those areas?
Well, first of all, if they're in the street, we can. If they're on the sidewalk, we really can't. Sidewalk is a public space.
Mm. And if they're not violating the law, they're okay to be there.
So there's loitering law that we can enact going, look, you can't just stand here on the corner, either participate in a business or go someplace else.
That's correct.
Absolutely. That's our constitutional rights.
That's one of the things that leads me to believe that at some point we may want to, for lack of a better term, privatize the entertainment district so that things like metal detectors and those kind of things could be in effect. Now, that wouldn't have affected Friday night, but we need to take whatever steps we can to make sure that people know that we are paying careful attention to safety, particularly downtown.
Marching orders for the SPD and the chief for this weekend. And is anything changing? What are you telling him?
Well, I'm going to be asking him to put the kind of effort in that we did when we had the noise ordinance problem. I will say that it isn't an every weekend occurrence, and this was a holiday, and that's why we anticipated and moved forward with it. But we've got some other holidays coming up, and we need to make sure that we are securing the downtown as best we can.
Mm-hmm. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. Mayor, thank you so much. We're looking forward to you getting out. I know you are of the hospital, of course, and we will talk with you soon.
Very good. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, of course, we'll continue this conversation coming up after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com. Yeah, I didn't even hear about all this going on this weekend because we left town Friday.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter used to live in Dallas. She lived in Dallas for years, and she moved to Florida to take a pretty cool job. She works at Cape Canaveral for SpaceX. But she came home. I say came home. She came back to Dallas because a friend of hers got married over the weekend. So We said, you know what? We're going to spend the weekend in Dallas. My wife lined up an Airbnb, and so we all just stayed there over the weekend. So I didn't even hear about the big melee until I got back this morning. So we're going to continue that. But in that vein, when we were coming back from Dallas, we were in the truck for 3 hours, turned on Joe Rogan podcast. Joe, it's very interesting. Joe, just his story is very interesting.
Absolutely.
Because unlike a lot, Joe's open-minded. He's intelligent and wants to have open discussion. He doesn't have a stance that he clings to firmly. And so he's had people like Donald Trump on, of course, during the election.
Sure.
He recently had Elon Musk. That Aaron, my wife and I were just, holy cow. Because as you know, Elon was the darling of the left.
You bet. Absolutely.
If you drove a Tesla, you were environmentally conscious.
Saving the country.
You were saving the environment, even though there's more harm being done to manufacture the batteries than any gasoline production.
Right.
But that's another discussion. So for Elon to become involved in Doge cost him dearly.
Sure it did.
Cost him millions. But when he says some of the things that he says, and I'm going to play some of this interview, it's from a first hand because he actually opened the books in the federal government and he saw where billions of money was going. And what have I been saying for the past several weeks about all of this ICE protests, all of this, I almost want to say faux protesting going on, because we know it's organized. We know it's being funded. We know it's not organic. staging outside of ICE facilities in various cities, mostly blue cities. They have houses that they base out of. I mean, it's when you go and start actually looking into it, you see it's all bullschnozzle. And it's very coordinated, and it's coordinated for a very specific reason. And what I have been saying for weeks, this entire charade is being perpetrated because the Democrats are losing their base. It's illegal for a non-U.S. citizen to vote.
Right.
That's the law.
You bet.
We're not being racist. That's the law. You mm-hmm. have to be a U.S. citizen unless you live in California or New York or Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Illegals are allowed to vote.
Yeah.
Donald Trump came in and said these millions that Biden allowed in, and they allowed, I say Biden, the people that were controlling Biden, allowed them in for a very specific purpose. And Elon gets into that in detail, and it's scary as hell. But he was talking about what's, and Ruben, I think I got the language. So, because if you've listened to Joe Rogan podcast,
you got a potty mouth.
There's no FCC regulations. Yeah. So just stand by on the button. But this is very, very interesting what Elon talks about and why you're seeing these protests.
And it's like, but wait a second. You started off saying it's untrue and it's a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Now you're saying it not only is it true, but it's a good thing and we must do more of it.
Well, this is the thing about Medicaid and Social Security and people getting Social Security numbers, you know, that
it's massive fraud.
It's massive fraud and it's real. And they denied it forever. And now we're finding out this is part of the reason why this is government shutdown that's going on right now.
Yes, the entire basis for the government shutdown is that the Trump administration correctly does not want to send massive amounts of, like, hundreds of billions of dollars to fund illegal immigrants in the blue states, or in all the states, really. And the Democrats want to keep the money spigot going to incent illegal immigrants to come into the U.S. who will vote for them. That's the crux of the battle.
So they want to stop this. So what's going on right now is they have been funding these people. They've been giving them EBT cards. They've been giving them Medicaid. Yeah, and they've been even housing
them. And more
them.
Than that, just like they're they're taking hotels, like 4 and 5 star hotels, like the Roosevelt Hotel being the classic example, was they were sending, I think, $60 million a year to the Roosevelt Hotel to... which all it did was house illegals. And it used to be a nice hotel. I mean, it still is a nice hotel. All around the country, this was happening.
And all tax dollars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Trump administration cut off funding, for example, to the Roosevelt Hotel and these other hotels, saying like it's U.S. tax dollars should not be paid. Be sent to have luxury hotels for illegal immigrants that American citizens can't even afford, which obviously is the case. That's insane. That's what was happening. They were also giving out like debit cards with $10,000. So it's not just about medical care.
Yeah.
The Democrats mention the medical care because they're trying to prey on people's empathy as much as possible, and then they imagine, oh wow, somebody has a desperately needed medical procedure. And shouldn't we maybe take care of them in that regard? But what they do is they divert the Medicaid funds and turn it into a slush fund for the states that goes well beyond emergency medical care.
That's why Schumer is out saying, they're cutting Medicare. They're cutting Medicaid for people. No, they're not. The crux of the matter, which Elon just stated, and this is from somebody who opened the books. This is not conjecture. This is not hyperbole. He saw the numbers. And he goes into a whole, this is a 3-hour podcast.
Right.
With Elon. And he goes into a whole lot more depth than we can go into now, mm-hmm. talking about what they were spending this money on. And they weren't even getting, there's apparently congressional approval ID numbers that have to go on to these requests that were just being left blank. Billions of dollars, billions of taxpayer-funded money was going out to these NGOs without any accountability.
Yeah.
And it's all to buy votes. They were putting them up in 5-star hotels, giving them $10,000 debit cards, giving them free health care, free housing. It's all to keep the boat. And they talk about, Aaron, what's really disturbing is getting as many millions of illegals into the country before the census. Because in California, they don't count U.S. citizens. When they're allocating districts, when they're allocating congressional maps, mm-hmm. it's human beings with a pulse. If you go on vacation in California, they're counting you. If you're an illegal, not a U.S. citizen, you're being counted.
By the census.
And they were hoping to get to the point to where it was irreversible. Because then they could get control of the House. They could get control of the Senate, the presidency. And it could never be reversed because the numbers would forever be in their favor.
Yeah.
He goes into detail, and I've got another part of that coming up after the break. It's very disturbing, but listen very carefully what Elon is saying right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Yeah, this is Elon Musk explaining to Joe Rogan really how the Democrats are doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He told you why, because they're losing power.
Yep.
They can gain power infinitely by allowing millions of illegals into the country because they let them vote. They give them driver's licenses. Here's Elon Musk.
But the reason you have the standoff is because if the hundreds of billions of dollars to create a financial incentive to have this giant magnet to attract illegals from every part of Earth to these states, if that is turned off, the illegals will leave because they're no longer being paid to come to the United States and stay here.
Wow.
And then they will lose a lot of voters. The Democratic Party will lose a lot of voters.
And they would have a very difficult job if this is kicked out of reintroducing it into a new bill.
Yes.
Especially once things start normalizing.
Yes. So, like, in a nutshell, the Democratic Party wants to destroy democracy by importing voters. And the Republican Party disagrees with
and
that.
And the ruse is that if you don't accept what they're doing, then you're a threat to democracy.
Yes.
As they try to destroy democracy.
Yes.
By importing voters.
That is literally what they're doing.
And people to only vote for them and overwhelming the system.
Yes. And by the way, it's a strategy that, if allowed to work, would work. And in fact, has worked. California is supermajority Democrat.
Yeah.
And there's so much gerrymandering that occurs. It's crazy.
I'm sure you're paying attention to this Proposition 50 thing.
No.
That's the thing in California where they're trying to redo districts.
Oh, yeah. Because, California's already gerrymandered like crazy.
Yeah.
They want to gerrymander it even more.
Because it keeps moving further and further right. Like, if you look at the map of California, each voting cycle, more and more people are waking up and going, what the f***?
Yes.
We need to do something to fix this. The only option available, other than the policies that you guys have always done, is go right. And so a lot of people have been, air quotes, red-pilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then here's another thing that is very important, fact that is actually not disputed by either side. which is that when we do the census in the United States, the census, the way the census works for apportionment of congressional seats and electoral college votes for the president is by number of persons in a state, not number of citizens.
Right.
It's number of people. So you could literally be a tourist and you will count. The way the law reads right now is that all, if you are a human with a pulse, then you count in the census for allocating congressional seats and presidential votes.
Right.
So, so
electoral college, congressional seats, everything.
It doesn't matter whether you're here legally, illegally, and if you're a human with a pulse, you count for congressional apportionment. So that means that the more people, the more illegals that California and New York can import by the time the census happens in 2030, the more congressional seats they will have, and the more electoral, the more presidential electoral college votes they will have. So they're trying to get as many illegals in as possible ahead of the census. And because all human beings, even tourists, count for the census. And then if you combine that with gerrymandering of districts in New York and California, as you point out with this proposition, where they're trying to increase the amount of gerrymandering that occurs in California, the biggest state in the country. So if the census then would award more congressional seats to California because of a vast number of illegals, and New York and Illinois, so they'd get more congressional seats, they'll get more presidential electoral college votes, that would get them the House, a majority in the House, and they would get to decide who is president, based on illegals. These are not disputed facts by either party.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
A local Shreveport business owner, Tim Huck, downtown business owner Tim Huck, joining us, coming up just after the break, talking about the brawl in downtown Shreveport on Friday night. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We've been talking about this brawl on Halloween night in downtown Shreveport. Dozens of people in the middle of the street just acting absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
No police presence for at least 5 minutes.
At least, yeah.
Because this video was real time that has been posted on social media. We got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that says, "When my pool league plays at the sandbar, my wife and I won't go. We won't go downtown."
Mm.
So it's affecting local businesses.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Owner of said sandbar, Tim Huck, on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Tim, how do you respond to this?
Well, you know, it's obviously, you've seen me on city council. You've heard me on here and multiple other places screaming at the top of my lungs, "What are we doing? Why are we not doing anything?" You know, I hate to be the guy, but, you know, I place it right in the mayor's lap. I place it right in the city council's lap. I place it right in the police chief's lap. And it's ludicrous. I told the police officers, I told the sergeant over downtown, I informed everyone that Halloween, or the night that Halloween is celebrated in the bars, is the second biggest night of the year in Shreveport. The second biggest bar night of the year in Shreveport. And then you underschedule, and then they keep talking about how we're short police officers. But Saturday night, we got 17 cops downtown. They're responsive. They're reactive instead of proactive. They do no proactive policing in Shreveport.
The mayor said they were down there.
The mayor said there was a strong presence downtown.
Okay, well, the mayor lies on a regular basis. If only lying if he's typing, talking, or texting, or writing. There was not a strong police presence downtown. There was a police presence downtown, but it wasn't strong. And they sent out a whole press release that said, 50's partner, Shalette Holden, and the DDA and the police chief and all. We're going to pick hot spots, and we're going to make sure there's officers down there. You remember that press release on March 31st?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen personally probably 15 or 20 videos in that same exact location as the video from Friday night. So if we're picking hot spots, is there a hotter spot in downtown Shreveport?
Mm-mm. He also said the mayor this morning said on our radio station that it might be time to look back at closing the bars at 2 a.m., that maybe letting them stay open until 6 a.m. was a mistake. You're a bar owner. How do you respond to that?
Well, with vacant buildings downtown, when he's got a ton of vacant buildings, he'll see that. Maybe it's time for the police department to actually do their job. Every time they're like, well, let's just look at this, let's just look at that. A city who can't pay their bills now, let's go ahead and close a whole lot of buildings and create no value on the properties. Because that's what you're going to see is a ton of vacant buildings.
You would close if you couldn't stay open till 6? You would close your businesses down?
You would see almost all the buildings down there would do that.
Because you make almost a ton of money. You make a ton of money for that late night, from that late night crowd. Is that true?
All of them make money. Are we going to close the casinos early? I mean, there was a reason for them moving this time. If they would take, I do believe that Tom may have even been on the council when it first happened. I'm pretty sure he was actually on the council when it first happened. There was
Does
a
it
reason
go that far
this.
Back?
I think so.
So what would Tim Huck have done for Wednesday, Tuesday of last week? What would the Tim Huck plan have been for Friday night?
Well, first, the officers would be positioned in places. Again, they put a whole press release. We're going to identify hot spots. Well, every single time I've ever seen a confrontation and a problem, it's been on that corner. So that's a hot spot. Why would I not have officers stationed at that particular corner, first of all? Secondly, is enforce the law. Enforce the law from the first minute that the officers get downtown. Open container. If you're walking around with a bottle of liquor in your hand, you get in a ticket. You're going to jail. Zero tolerance enforcement.
But we have open container in the Red River District, but it stops once you get to Spring Street, I guess?
Yes, but the open container in the Red River District is limited to drinks purchased in the Red River District. There's only three places open in the Red River District. So if you're walking around carrying a bottle of liquor in your hand, you didn't purchase it in the Red River District because they only serve it by the drink. Okay?
Right.
So if you're walking around carrying a bowl in your hand, you don't have, it's not unlimited open container. It's limited to the establishments in the district. However, nobody enforces it.
Tim, what do you think about Governor Landry's proposal to bring the National Guard to Shreveport?
I don't think it's necessary.
I didn't before, but I do now.
Well, again, if you would enforce the laws on the books before it gets out of hand, we don't have enough police officers to be reactive policing. We have to do proactive policing. It's very, the concept is so simple, it's asinine that they don't listen to it. It's crazy to me. It's literally, we just wait and we become reactive. The police chief was downtown Saturday night. Why are we downtown Saturday night?
What is the responsibility of you guys as bar owners to make sure your crowd doesn't spill out into the street and then cause a problem? I'm not saying it's your bar that's doing it, but any bar that's doing it.
Well, you can watch the videos and it'll tell you it wasn't my bar. To me, when there's a confrontation, we call the police right away. But the first responsibility that we have going on in this is capacity. The fire marshal gives a legal capacity. No one comes out and checks it. So if they would start doing that, you would probably have less spilling out into the street. But when there's literally confrontations in front of your building, that full brawls in front of your building, your security, you have to call the cops. And some of these owners will not call the cops.
Are some of these teenagers, are some of these young people just hanging out for a night of fun?
Absolutely. Some of these people are never going into a bar. If you remember the noise ordinance when I was screaming about that?
Yep.
The number of people in the streets who are not patronizing any establishment, they're just running around.
Mm-hmm. And some of them causing trouble. Do you anticipate anybody will be charged in connection with the Halloween night melee?
Well, I don't know if the gentleman on the ground that was kicked in the head went to hospital or not, so I don't know if he's been identified. If he's been identified, I'll figure that at least the guy in the blue suit that kicked him in the head will be.
Well, there were several that kicked him in the head, including a woman.
Yeah. The one did the absolute most damage of it. But, you know, if he went to the hospital, if he's identified, I believe they probably, you know, the videos are too good, too many. But, again, you had the cameras down there. Who's watching the real-time crime center video?
Yeah.
That was my question earlier. Mm-hmm. It was 4 minutes. This is a real-time, unedited video. It was 4 minutes before the first police car showed up. That's a long time.
Right. And the officers there were officers on Commerce Street. So there were officers less than two blocks from there.
Wow. Tim Huck, the owner of the Sandbar, other establishments in our community, I just got a text. The city council is calling an emergency meeting for tomorrow. This will obviously be the top priority in that meeting. I'm sure you will probably want to be there.
Oh, I will definitely be there.
Tim, thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tim Huck, business owner, downtown Shreveport, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I don't know if I believe this, but it comes from somebody I truly trust and admire.
Okay.
Our buddy Patrick Netherton tweeted over the weekend.
Patrick.
He does some stuff for ESPN, and he tweeted this weekend that Nick Saban flew into Baton Rouge and has reportedly been offered the job.
$60 million. Is what I saw.
And that he's now discussing it with the wife, Terry, who loved Baton Rouge. But Nick on College Game Day this weekend said he had no interest in returning to coaching. Now, you kind of have to say that, I guess. And I don't know if maybe he flew into Baton Rouge after the game day show.
But he has stated because of NIL, because mm-hmm. of the transfer portal.
Yep.
These are uncoachable kids now.
Right. Exactly.
If you make them mad, they're gone.
Right.
Okay, fine. I'm going to Clemson. I'm mm-hmm. going to Georgia.
I'll stop selling your Cadillacs. I'll go sell BMWs in Phoenix.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Nick Saban goes, this is not college football anymore.
No.
I don't want a part of it, which is why he got out.
Right.
So to think that he would jump back in the middle of especially a university with no athletic director, no president,
mm-hmm.
no head coach. So LSU, it's kind of a tough situation right now. It's going to be a tough sell.
It really is a tough sell. And
how do you go in as a head coach without even having an athletic director?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now they hire a new AD that goes, I never liked Nick Saban.
Yep.
Now you're out of here.
Do you see what Kim Mulkey did this weekend?
Not to mention the fact that the governor of the state is involved in the university's athletic program.
Kim,
Governor Landry, I love you, but stay out.
Kim Mulkey abandoned her post-game news conference in protest of the governor getting involved.
I have not heard that.
Sending
I'm not surprised.
A strong message to him, like, stay the hell out of it.
Yes.
It's not your business.
That's right. And she's right.
She's right. She's dead on right. And, you know, he can't mess with her. I mean, she's untouchable.
Right.
I mean, in the coaching world, she's pretty untouchable. But, you know, that goes with winning and losing. If she keeps losing, if she starts losing and goes on a losing, then she'd be out too.
Okay. AI says that's a false rumor.
False rumor.
About
okay.
Saban. There was speculation and rumor mongering about his potential return, but Saban's daughter publicly shut down the rumors. This past weekend was also the one where the Tigers football rumor that Saban might be returning started.
Okay.
So apparently, according to AI,
it ain't happening.
His daughter says, no, that did not happen.
Not happening. Well, I reached out to Netherton.
Which I would tend to believe. Yep. Again, for all the reasons I just stated, mm-hmm. why he left college football.
Right.
Why would he get back in it, especially in a volatile situation like LSU?
Yep. I did reach out to Netherton, see if he'd come join us. And he said, nah, he'd rather just leave his statement out there and we'll see. You know, they're going to make a move here quickly. It'll be pretty quickly. So we'll see who they get.
Coming up tomorrow, by the way, we have Cedric Glover from the Downtown Development Authority agreed to talk with us in the 8 o'clock hour.
We have also invited the governor. We want to talk with him about National Guard troops. Maybe he'll be with us tomorrow or on Wednesday. We'll see.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.